Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our episode zero of Saving the Game. Yes, that's zero. That's before our first episode. This is our introductory episode where we're going to tell you kind of about us, about the podcast, our goals, who we are, what we do, that sort of thing. I'm Grant.
I'm Peter.
And we're both a pair of gamers. We've been at various different hobbies for a while. Also, both Christians, at least Peter is, and I'm a lapsed Christian trying to get back into things, as it were. So, Peter, you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a 33-year-old with a kind of a menial job, so I've got lots of time to listen to podcasts, but this is the first time, first real time I've actually been involved in producing one. I was involved in one attempt that never got off the ground. I've been a Christian since I was very young. I started out as an evangelical and have kind of converted, although I'm not sure that's the right word to use when you're talking about moving denominations, to United Methodism, and I've been a United Methodist for about 3 years. I've done a lot of tabletop role-playing in the past. These days I'm mostly a video gamer, but I do still try and keep up with my tabletop gaming a little bit. How about you, Grant?
Well, I'm Grant. I'm a support tech for a software engineering company in South Carolina. Married, have our first kid on the way, a daughter. And I've been a Christian all my life with varying degrees of commitment to it. Born and raised Presbyterian, married a Southern Baptist. Recently haven't been going to church, haven't really been very active as a Christian, except in a sort of general sort of way. But with a child on the way and just general sense that maybe that's something I should really be focusing on, that's kind of why I'm, one of the reasons I'm doing this is trying to get back into things and really sort of find myself, find God again, and put everything else in perspective. As far as gaming goes, I really have not been a gamer terribly long, maybe 10 years or so, pretty much just since college. A little bit of video gaming in high school, but really tabletop gaming kicked off for me in college. Play plenty of video games. Not as many as you do, Peter, but, you know, a few.
Well, being a crazed bundle hound on the indie gaming websites will do that.
Yeah, it will. Most of my time spent tabletop gaming. I've had a group that I've been with for a long time, good group of friends. As so many other people have, you and I became friends through the Fear of the Boot forums. Fear of the Boot, for those who don't know, is a long-running, in fact, I believe it's the longest-running, tabletop RPG podcast out there that's still going. They're at nearly 250 episodes at the time of recording. Is it 250 or 350?
It's 250. I think we can safely call them the preeminent RPG podcast running
they
right
are.
Now. They've earned it.
Yeah, absolutely they have. And they have a fantastic role-playing game community. In fact, calling it role-playing games isn't really accurate. It's, in every way except in name, a very Christian community of people who really care for each other, watch out for each other, aid each other in all sorts of things. And just, you know, it's probably one of the nicest places on the internet.
Yeah.
So, feartheboot.com. Again, we're just forum members there, but if for some reason you're listening to us and not them, add Fear the Boot to your podcast list. They're just good people. And
yeah,
really good role-playing game advice podcasters. And really funny. They're really funny.
They've been gaming for a lot longer than we have been, and they've got a lot of good advice to share.
That's true. So, that's who we are. Peter, why did you want to do a podcast about tabletop games?
Well,
Christianity.
Because you kind of talked me into it, to truth be told.
Oh,
but
I see. It's all
you
my
didn't
fault.
You didn't have to twist my arm too hard. There really isn't one out there. We got into a discussion, I think, in the Writers Guild that we're both part of about some books that I'd read. And I don't know, what was your thought process after that? I know I just finished reading Introverts in the Church, and I think something about that discussion might have crystallized this somehow? Or
Yeah, to a certain degree. The podcast idea itself has actually been in my head for a couple of years now. I've had a little note sitting out on the internet reminding myself about it, just, you know, podcast topic ideas and that sort of thing, and it's just sort of been spinning in the back of my head, because there isn't a good Christian RPG podcast that I have been able to find, and when I say good, I mean any.
yeah.
podcast. If there is one out there, we're not calling you bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
And if you are one, please get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yes.
but we could not find one, at least not very easily. So it's sort of been in the back of my head that I need to become a better Christian, get reacquainted with Christ, especially as my life has been changing fairly drastically over the past couple of years, gone from kid out of college working menial software jobs and, you know, help desk work and that sort of thing, to somebody with a pretty good job, with a house, with a family. It's been a significant change. And at the same time, my own hobbies have been evolving from kind of your basic, you know, hey, let's get together and game and drink and just kind of have fun, to wanting more interesting tabletop games, wanting to do more. The group that we've had tends towards very long-running games. We are just wrapping up the prologue of our mage game, which is now 4 years in the running.
4 years for a prologue?
4 years for a prologue. We run long games.
I ran an entire campaign that lasted a year.
Yeah. That is not the longest running game I'm in, but it's the longest running game that meets regularly.
Wow.
Yeah. We do long games. And this is my group of close friends. So I've been wanting to kind of branch out role-playing game-wise as well. And then when you and I were talking in the Writers Guild, the books you were talking about and the books you had reviewed on your blog, they immediately said, aha, this may be someone else who kind of thinks like me. Because you gotta understand, I grew up down here in the South. And the predominant forms of Christianity here in the South, Southern Baptists, evangelicals, very fundamentalist Christian beliefs and organizations, those aren't really how I was raised, and they don't feel right to me. And when you sort of started talking with a lot of, you know, the stuff you were saying, and, you know, the books that you were recommending, I was like, oh, well, this might be somebody to talk to. Okay. So then we got to talking about some of these other books. You made some recommendations. I have a stack of them sitting next to my chair. And the book I'm currently reading, Love Wins, which is holding up my alarm clock so I can continue to read it at night if I wake up. You know, it's all... All of these books were very eye-opening. I have just started Love Wins, and it's fantastic. It's answering a lot of questions already. So first of all, thank you. Very helpful.
Sure.
And it just sort of clicked really pretty quickly that, wait a second, Peter might be interested in this podcast idea. It's a crazy thought.
Yeah, and just as a note to the listeners, I'm from kind of a conservative Christian background like Grant is. My current form of Christianity is a bit more of a, I guess, what would be considered a liberal or progressive type, which we're not really going to get into our own personal politics, but if you compare the two of them on me, it's kind of funny. I'm pretty much a libertarian, but there's a lot of things like inclusivism, the belief that not all humans are inherently damned if they don't have a conscious formal conversion experience. Obviously, it's best to be a professed Christian and in Christ when you stand before God, but those may not be the only people in heaven. The concept that modern science and the Bible are somehow exclusive and not reconcilable to each other, I think, is kind of funny. I could get into that for a while, but
yeah, and by and large, we're going to, I think, try and avoid politics. But
yeah, I've got a good quote that I should have looked up for this from a United Methodist pastor down in Leawood, Kansas, Adam Hamilton, that I really like. And I believe the way that he summed it up is that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, but the gift of salvation is God's to give to whomever he wants to. And
it's a good one.
I think the fundamental principle there, at least as far as I'm concerned, is that without Christ's sacrifice, no salvation is possible. With it, it's possible, and the decision is not ours to make.
Yeah, and that's very good. I like that. I need to look him up.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Excellent. We'll have to link him in the show notes.
Do we want to get into our gaming a little bit here?
Yeah, let's get into our gaming a little bit. Why don't you go ahead?
So, I've been tabletop gaming a little bit longer than Grant, but I think it's mostly because I'm a little bit older than Grant. I started at about the same time in my life as he did in his. I was about 19 years old or so. I'd been kind of a student of role-playing games in that I'd had some gaming books that I'd read and stuff back when I was in high school, but I never really got a chance to do anything with them until I was, I want to say, about 19 years old. I was in a GURPS group for a while. I was actually pretty heavily involved in the GURPS community for a while. I've got a couple of things published in some GURPS books. I wrote one of the entries in GURPS Monsters and one in Magic Items 3. And you'll find my name in the playtest credits for a GURPS book or two. So that's obviously my kind of native system. It was the first role-playing system I ever learned, and that was kind of neat way to come into it, because as crunchy as GURPS is and as lethal as the combat is and as kind of generally newbie unfriendly as it is, it's completely modular and it's system agnostic. So it didn't come with a lot of the baggage that comes with other parts of the gaming industry like Dungeons & Dragons or the World of Darkness games. It's just, you know, here's a set of rules. You can use this to create whatever world or setting you want to, and at that point, it's your toy box. I've been playing computer games for a while longer, and I say computer rather than video a lot of the time because I'm almost exclusively a PC gamer. I have had one console in my entire life. That was a first-gen PlayStation, and I have not kept up on them since, but I've been gaming on the PC since, oh boy. Well, the first PC I ever played a game on was a Commodore VIC-20. I think, nice. I was maybe 5 or 6.
Very nice.
Yeah. Nice. The old cassette tape drives, and I've got many fond memories of gaming on a Commodore 64, and then, 286, 386, 486. I started building computers for myself back in 2009, and that kind of turned into a hobby all its own.
It has a way of doing that.
Yeah. It's kind of intoxicating when you boot it up for the first time and the only thing on the screen is the recycle bin and you realize that there's no cruft on this thing at all.
Yeah.
And that you put together something that's now working. That's kind of my general gaming background with respect to my earlier life. I got into D&D a little bit after 3rd edition came out. I never actually played any of the earlier, more controversial editions of it, which I suppose is good and bad. I don't have as much to talk about or reminisce about from the old 2nd edition days or anything, but I also didn't have to deal with all the controversy that seemed to be boiling around in the 80s and 90s, so I kind of dodged a proverbial bullet there. How about you, Grant?
I got my start... it's funny. I'm going to say that I got my start in tabletop role-playing games with an online computer game. And I know that sounds crazy, and it sounds like I'm cheating here. My first role-playing game was in high school, and it wasn't tabletop, and it wasn't one of the Black Isle games, wasn't Baldur's Gate, anything like that. It was actually a text-based multi-user dungeon, Old Mud. I think partly because I could disguise it, and it looked sort of like work, and it could run in the background in a Telnet client, and it didn't look at all like a video game. But what I found was that was exactly what I was looking for in entertainment. It was, some crunchy numbers that you wanted to track and, things to keep up with. And, oh, hey, here's a good thing to, an item to make, a thing to find, etc. But the real draw was role-playing, interacting with other people who shared my interests and who, we could tell interesting stories together. With a MUD, there's an existing world. It's, for those of you who've played modern MMOs, it's like a text-based MMO, people running around.
Sort of World of Warcraft meets Zork, huh?
Yeah, to a certain degree, there are rooms that you enter, north, south, east, west, up, down, kind of entrances and exits. It's all node-based, where you enter a place and then go to the next room, that sort of thing. There's monsters that respawn. It's very static in a lot of ways, and there are, there's some interesting stories that are told by the people who write the MUD, but it's not really the point of it. The interesting thing about the MUD was once you sort of explored the world, normally people would say, well, that's kind of it. I've seen everything. I've kind of done everything. All right. That wasn't the point. The point was that you could continue to be in this world, build relationships with people, form organizations, buy a house and decorate it and build it up, form halls for your clans, and just this fascinating almost societal sort of thing driven by people who were playing the game with you. And, you know, everybody was in character most of the time, although there was plenty of out-of-character chatter and joking and drama because, well, I was in high school and there was drama. And there were middle schoolers and there was drama. It happens.
Yeah, once you get a bunch of people who are over the age of 10 and yet under the age of 20 involved in anything, there will be drama.
Let's say under the age of 30, honestly. Not everybody grows up quite fast enough.
Okay, all right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but that's really what got me interested in the idea of role-playing and role-playing games. This idea that I could tell an interesting story and do it socially. I could do it in conjunction with other people and they weren't going to ruin it. They would add to it. They would make it more interesting. That's really what got me hooked. So I played those in high school, various different ones. And when I got to college, stuck with it a little bit and then eventually dropped out of that. But college was interesting because I wish I had stayed in role-playing games. I did not, for things that I'll talk about in probably our quote-unquote first episode. Switched schools, found a group of friends. Really started role-playing there. D&D and Shadowrun were the two that I got started with and then left school again, never quite finished. And from there, met the fine young woman who was going to become my wife and her friends, and they got me involved in a long-running D&D game and then a few other things, and it sort of snowballed from there. And here I am 10 years later with a couple of regular games, some in person, some online, and that's sort of my tabletop experience. I've not played as many systems as I would like. I think everybody reads a lot of systems and never really has time to play all of them.
Yeah, I've done GURPS, D&D, Fate, Mutants and Masterminds, Shadowrun, and I think that's it. What about you, Grant?
D&D. Shadowrun, 3rd Ed and 4th Ed. D&D has been 3rd Ed and 4th Ed as well.
Yeah, I should say for me, D&D has been 3.0, 3.5, and Pathfinder.
Yeah, I have not actually played Pathfinder, though I have made a bunch of Pathfinder characters for games that have never quite launched. Let's see what else. Mage, The Ascension, which is an older version of Mage. Set in White Wolf's World of Darkness.
I actually have the GURPS book for that. It's a fascinating subsetting.
I actually do, too. Bought it in a, random bundle of books from my local game store. Savage Worlds, specifically Necessary Evil, and that's about it. Shockingly few games, really. I have been trying to run a Rogue Trader game for a while. That hasn't happened. A few other things that I've been wanting to do haven't really kicked off, but those are by and large my games. It's possible I'll think of one that has slipped my mind that I only played for a little bit.
Yeah, I just did. I played one session of In a Wicked Age at a con once.
There you go.
Which was fun in a very intense kind of way.
Sure. Actually, if we're talking con games, I did go to Fear the Con 5 this year, and I played Fiasco, which is amazing. Paranoia.
What you can't hear, listeners, is me looking at him in envy right now. I wanted to go, but couldn't make it for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Those are, by the way, the best 2 days in gaming anywhere. Go. It's in St. Louis. Nobody in America has an excuse that it's on the other side of the country. It's smack in the middle. It's fine. So, yeah, I did Fiasco, a Quags game, Paranoia, Dread, which was interesting. And
that's the one with the Jenga tower.
That is
right?
The one with the Jenga tower, the diceless, cardless, wacky system where pulled blocks from a Jenga tower, and when the tower falls, your character's kaput in some form or another. Fascinating one, and we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. And then there was an old Star Trek out of print game, old FASA Star Trek. So that was Dan's crazy Star Trek game, where we both ships managed to destroy each other. Duel. Very strange.
That actually sounds a little bit like a few episodes I've seen of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Ships blowing each other up happens.
Yes, it does. So, that's my gaming experience. Not a heck of a lot of systems. But again, like I said, or I've said before, my group tends towards very, very long games.
This is me looking at Grant and Envy for the second time in the podcast. I haven't had a regular gaming group for quite some time that meets in person. I've got a semi-regular online one, but we try and meet on Friday, and that tends to have a bunch of either very weary and ragged people or not meet at all.
Yeah, that is unfortunately the problem with Friday night gaming. We could do it when we were kids. Now, you know what? We're working. It's hard.
Yeah. After 5 days of nose to the grindstone, nose is a little raw and you just want to rest.
Absolutely. So that's kind of who we are in our gaming background. I do play some video games, by the way, but it's mostly casual stuff at this point. Board games, I do like board games, and since I do have a collection of friends who are geographically close and who also like board games, we get some of those in. We play some of those. I don't have quite the experience that some other people I know have of, you know, playing board game after board game after board game, in the same way that people play video game after video game after video game. But I've got some experience with those, and it's possible we'll talk about those, though I think, let's be honest, saving the game's probably going to be limited to tabletop and video games for the most part.
Probably for the most part. If for no other reason than there's not a whole lot of... board games tend to be very cut and dried.
Yeah, there's not a lot of moral...
There's not a lot of moral flexibility in chess.
Yeah.
Or depth, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. They're almost always very strategic. And when they're not, you know, very strategic and there's, you know, real moral emphasis in it, it's probably a role-playing game masquerading as a board game. And we'll be talking about it.
So do we want to get into what we want to accomplish with this?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do that. You want to lead it off?
Sure. So Grant and I, when we were going over the podcast, identified four groups of people that we kind of wanted to appeal to and address. The most obvious one is the group that we're in, which is Christian gamers. Provide, you know, good advice on gaming, hopefully some interesting stuff that you can incorporate into your games, maybe give you some spiritual stuff to think about at and away from the gaming table. Obviously, that's the group that's hopefully going to get the most out of this. But we'd also like to appeal to non-Christian gamers to maybe help them understand that, first of all, we don't all want to burn them at the stake, and that we're hoping that the feeling is mutual. Do you want to address that a little bit, Grant? You had a couple of good thoughts on that the last time we were discussing this.
Most of my gaming group is not actually Christian, and some of that is just kind of people that, you know, I naturally tend to be friends with, you know, they're people who aren't...
Let's be honest. A lot of the time, geeks aren't very spiritual.
Yeah, that's a
lot
of it.
And we are both deeply geeky.
Yes, we are.
So we have lots of deeply geeky friends.
Absolutely. And look, to be perfectly honest, at the time, I wasn't terribly spiritual either. And I would say that my relationship with Christ was probably at its lowest ebb at about that time. And just, you know, there's a certain amount of like attracts like. Some of them are people who a great many Christians think are just inherently damned. Some of them can't really reconcile belief in science. I've got a very good engineer friend who just has trouble reconciling the world we live in, and a firm belief in science is a force for progress and Christianity, or really religion in general. He's just not terribly religious. A lot of my group is like that. And I know for a fact that that's not unique to my group. A lot of the people that I've talked to on the Fear of the Boot forums are either sort of vaguely Christian, have non-Christians in their group, or, you know, aren't Christian themselves, and just feel alienated from the Christian community, in part because of sort of the general geek culture, but in many cases it's specifically for their interest in role-playing games. And not just fantasy role-playing games, but role-playing games in general.
Let's also be honest. Believers and non-believers have been pretty terrible to each other for hundreds of years.
Yes.
This is neither new nor at its worst point.
It's absolutely true. And it's unfortunate that over the past, let's say, 30 years, maybe 35 years, actually we're getting close to 40 now since first publication of Dungeons & Dragons, a vocal part of the community of Christians has actively pushed people away from role-playing games. And as a side effect of that, they've pushed people who are in role-playing, who are involved in the role-playing game hobby, away from Christianity.
And that kind of leads us into the third group of people we'd like to address.
It does. Non-gaming Christians, as I'd like to call them. There are plenty of Christians out there who really don't care much about role-playing games.
In fact, probably most of them.
Probably a large portion of them. It's a small hobby.
Yeah.
There's a lot more Christians than role-playing gamers, I can tell you that.
Yes.
And what we want to do for them is give, first of all, clarify misconceptions about role-playing games and video games. And geek culture in general, probably. These have died down a little bit, not completely, as we'll talk about in our next episode. But they've died down somewhat, frankly, as geek culture has kind of come into its own in the past decade, and everybody sort of said, oh, yeah, okay, that seems kind of normal. It's a thing.
Yeah, not so bad.
Not too bad, but there's still some of it out there. Some of it still lingers. We want to clarify misconceptions. We also want to, and I think this is the most important thing, we want to promote gaming as a Christian activity and a tool for Christians to use. Partly for evangelism, in a subtle sort of way, not, you know, here's my evangelical game, but, you know, as a way to get in touch with people who aren't Christians and who might otherwise not have an opportunity to interact with Christians.
And by so doing, show them that we can... let's be honest. Grant and I both game because it's fun, but we can bring our Christian worldview, ethics, personality to the gaming table with us, and it's easier to make friends when you have something in common.
Yeah.
And it might as well be gaming.
I think so, absolutely. And as I've seen somebody say on the internet, and I think this is a valuable point, when you tell people that Christians shouldn't play role-playing games, what you're really saying is there shouldn't be any Christians at a role-playing game table. And when there's somebody at a role-playing game table who wants to know about Christianity or wants to know what truths are out there, well, there's no Christians to answer it.
Yeah, so they either wind up with unanswered questions or their questions get answered by people who have no personal experience.
No personal experience or who aren't Christian themselves for, you know, their whatever it is.
Adversarial.
let's not kid ourselves. There are a few people who are actively adversarial to Christianity, and some of those do play role-playing games. Some of them don't. It's hardly limited to the hobby.
Yeah.
But there are a few people out there who've had bad experiences and just, you know, they're not going to be the best spokesman for Christ. Let's put it that way. Now, this is not to say that this podcast is going to be an evangelical podcast.
No. We're kind of going to be delivering content under the assumption that maybe not necessarily that you are a Christian, but you at least kind of know what we're talking about when we talk about basic Christian concepts.
Right. And anything more advanced, Peter, you are better educated as far as theology goes than I am. So more advanced theological concepts, if they come up, you know, we'll talk about those and try and explain those. But kind of the basic things, we're going to assume that you at least know some terminology and understand some stuff. If, by the way, you don't, please feel free to contact us through any of the various means we'll give you. We'll be happy to explain it, give you some background on what we're talking about.
Or Google it furiously, ask our pastors, and get back to you in a week.
That's what I said, right?
Yes.
like the XKCD comic says, my IQ drops about 30 points when Wikipedia's down. Yeah. But yeah, we're not going to be terribly evangelical. Neither of us are really suited. You know, our personalities are not extroverted evangelical personalities. Any evangelism that we do bringing people to Christ is going to be...
start with a foundation of friendship.
Yeah.
Kind of be there for people. It's going to be more of a gentle guide than a sales pitch.
Yeah. I think really there's a line attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. That's what we're aiming for here. Any evangelism that we do, anything we do to help push people and pull people and guide people towards Christ is going to be not through active soapbox
megaphone street corner preacher
kind
of stuff.
That's not us. But I think by being open about who we are, what we do, and how we integrate these two supposedly disconnected things, you know, our relationship with Christ and our hobbies. Trying to be open about that, I think what I would like to do is help people see that these things aren't really disconnected. In fact, you know, to suggest that anything is disconnected from God and from Christ is inherently ridiculous, but that's something else that I'm sure we'll talk about at some point.
And then we've got a final category, which is going to sound a little bit funny, but we would like to occasionally at least produce some content that's interesting to people that are neither Christians nor gamers.
Absolutely.
How they would wind up listening to the podcast in the first place is a little bit beyond me, but if they do, we would like to have something there that'll at least spur interest in one and hopefully the other by extension.
Well, it's very easy. We offer a rewards program where if you just send the podcast to 10 friends, you get something to be determined later. And when they tell 10 friends about the podcast...
We are not doing chain letters.
Ah, oh, shoot. Chain letters, nothing. I was hoping for a Ponzi scheme.
Oh.
But yeah, if by some chance you're browsing iTunes or RPG podcasts for whatever strange reason, or a friend tells you, hey, I've got this interesting podcast by interesting people, and I also know about saving the game, we'd love to have you in too. We'd love to tell you about role-playing games, and by doing so, hopefully we'll tell you about Christianity.
Our inclusivism is not limited to theology.
No, absolutely not. And if you are generally not religious, if you have a strong faith that isn't Christianity, you're welcome to. Please come on in. Yep. Please listen. We'd love to have you. If nothing else, hopefully we'll entertain you, and Peter will educate you, because he's a lot smarter than I am. And hopefully you'll get something out of it. So we want to appeal to you guys, too. As much as, you know, it's two people talking, you know, just as much fun as it is just to hear our voices, we want you guys to join us in the process here. Whether you're Christian or not, whether you're a role-playing game fanatic or you haven't heard of role-playing games at all, whether you play video games or don't own a computer or a television and want nothing to do with them, we want you guys involved in this too. We'd be happy to have you along for the ride. If for some reason you're not hearing this through our website, the website that we've got is savingthegamepodcast.org. You can also find us on Twitter at savingthegame. Facebook, facebook.com/savingthegame. And we're on Google Plus. I'll link all of these in the show notes as well. I personally use Twitter and Google Plus, but I am probably going to have to start using Facebook as well to keep up with Saving the Game.
I mostly use Twitter, and even that, I'm mostly a consumer, so Grant is probably going to have to kick my tail a little bit to get me to actually post things anywhere other than the website itself.
Yeah, well, it'll happen, and we'll get good at that. And please get involved with us. Hopefully, some point down the road, we'll set up some forums as well. Right now, we're going to avoid that until we... I mean, this is the very first thing we're recording. We're recording this before we even do our episode one. So before we get too involved in the website, we wanted to actually get some content out there and make sure we could make it past, say, episode 3.
Episode 5, yeah.
Episode 5, you've got high goals here. We're talking stretch goals here, all right.
Come on, man, one episode for each finger on my hand. Let's go for that, at least.
All right, that's fair. But yeah, if you're listening to this when we've got episode 100 out there, come join us on our as-of-yet-non-existent forums as well. No doubt they're awesome, and I'll travel back in time later and edit in how awesome they are. I'm sure. It'll be great.
And I think we're probably going to leave it there for our episode 0.
I think so.
We'll see you again for episode 1. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, folks.